God gives us all what we really want. Well, chapter 22, and I just have a couple of verses I'm going to show you. The first one is, worship or submission to God is central to all the Bible. Look at verse 9. You can read all the rest. We're supposed to. It's worth a lot of points. But look what he says. Then he said to me, verse 9, see that you do not do that. See, John was overwhelmed at the angel. The angel was so unbelievably, he started worshiping the angel. He said, don't do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Well, that's the central theme of the scriptures. Worship God. Worship of God is the mark of true believers. Here's my second observation from verse 22. When we take the final trip with Jesus through the valley of shadow of death or in the skies through the clouds at the voice of the archangel, no baggage left here can accompany us. Look what it says in 22:12. Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is already with me to give to everyone according to his work. In other words, anything that matters, you have to send ahead. You can't take with you. Now, we can unusually take people with us to heaven. It says that in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. Paul said, what is my hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? It's you in the presence of the Lord. So anybody you lead to the Lord, you actually kind of take with you because the Lord kind of associates us with who we lead to Christ. But nothing else physical can you take. Immortal souls you can, except what you send ahead. So I wrote, only what we send ahead here will make it to heaven. And what keeps us from getting to heaven is a lust for comfort and convenience. If we're lusting for comfort and convenience, we spend all of our life guarding all this stuff and we don't want anybody to take it. Remember what Ecclesiastes said? The more you have, the more you want. The more you have, the more everybody else wants it. The more you have, the harder it is to give it up. I mean, all those principles are in Ecclesiastes. God says, no, don't lust for comfort and convenience. Long for your heavenly home. Don't be greedy for recognition. Remember Jesus said, if you get clapped for what you did in sacrifice to the Lord, you don't have any reward in heaven. Wow. We have people that want their name attached to their gift. You know, they donate, but they want their name. They want to be named on the building or whatever. That's okay. It's good. You have a reward. We think you're great. But you lose that reward in heaven, Jesus said, when we want to be recognized. And that's something, you want what you do for the Lord to last forever? Make sure that you're not your biggest self-promoter. And a covetousness for security that keeps us. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. When the Bible closes in Revelation 22, we're transported to the fringes of eternity. We step out into the garden of God. It's called the final paradise. For just a minute, have you ever thought about the first paradise? Imagine what it was like at the dawn of creation. Think about life as a perfect human. Your first memory as Adam and Eve would have been waking up in God's garden, Eden. You're in a comfortable world, no extremes. You're surrounded by the beauty and the fragrance. You have no pains, no sorrows, no fears, no weariness. That's what we go back to. On our way there, we have to stand in front of Jesus and say, did I live my life for you? Or did I just waste it? Let's see, do I have my keys here? I think I gave them to Bonnie. I don't know what I did with my keys. I usually keep them in my pocket, but this is what I usually do in the class, and I've done this for generations of you young people. I say, when Bonnie and I are driving across the country, we drive a lot when we're in the States, and we even drive a lot when we're not in the States, but when we drive the car, Bonnie will say, hey, do you want me to drive? I say, uh-huh. She knows I'm serious. When I pull over the car to the side, I put it in gear, I turn it off, I pull the keys out, I come around to the other side of the car, I open her door, and I hand her the keys. And I get out of the driver's seat, and I get into the passenger seat, and she has total control, the keys, the steering wheel, everything, and I don't. Who's the driver of your life? Did you know every morning the Lord wants you to pull over, hand him the keys, get in the passenger seat, and let him drive? That's surrender.